peace with you. Thank you today that we can know this peace by believing in Jesus. Help us to believe today in our hearts as we hear from your word. Amen. Now please keep our Bibles open to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 from verse 18. Christmas can be a costly time of year. This year Australians will spend billions on gifts and billions more on food, travel and decorations, totalling a whopping $25 billion. That's $1,325 each on average, slightly down on last year by $28 due to rising fuel and electricity prices. The cost for women is $1,400 compared to your average bloke who will only shell out $1,200. Come on, man. With Western Australians spending the most and South Australians the least, nearly all of us are expected to go further into debt, as 40% of our total Christmas spend will go on credit cards, with two-thirds of Australians experiencing regret about the amount of money Christmas has cost them, resulting in a financial hangover kicking in at the end of January as we return to work to pay it all off. The Australian Securities and Investments Commission's Money Smart Initiative suggest we take Santa's advice in making a list of everyone you plan to buy for, checking it twice, then strategically crossing off the names of any people who haven't been particularly nice to you this year. Sorry, Aunt Flora, that comment you made on my 50th birthday about me going grey is going to cost you. There's a $28 saving right there. But none of this compares to the cost of the very first Christmas as God himself unexpectedly, courageously and completely came down to earth to save us. Today we hear from Matthew about the most astonishing moment in history when God became one of us. The Hebrew name Emmanuel, as you may already know, means God with us. This is what Christmas is all about. Celebrating the moment in history when God himself took on human flesh. But what you may not know or need reminding of, as I did this Christmas, is exactly what it meant, exactly what it cost for God to be with us. First, God with us unexpectedly. Verse 18 in Matthew chapter 1. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. There's nothing like receiving a surprise at Christmas, is there? An unexpected gift from someone who loves you and has put some real thought into it. There's still time. Who can you love unexpectedly this Christmas? And the Christmas story begins with Mary receiving a surprise. Surprise! Just as at the very creation of the world in Genesis, we read how the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now God is with Mary in a new and creative way, found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. This is the beginning of God doing a new creative work in our world. God's gift to us this Christmas from a God who loves us and has put an eternity of thought into what you and I need most. A pregnancy like no other. A female egg miraculously fertilized by God, growing inside Mary, the very seed of our salvation. This is astonishing. Astonishingly unexpected. No other religion or philosophy can even grasp what God has done here. Even today, most try to deny it. Just a few weeks ago, Jehovah's Witnesses stood on my front lawn, braving the Bindis and the Mozzies, while swearing black and blue that Jesus isn't God, all a lie made up by the Emperor Constantine in the 4th century. Which isn't true, of course, because even Pliny the Younger in 112 AD complained about these Christians who met together on a certain day of the week to eat lamingtons and worship and sing hymns to Christ as to a god. Or this mosaic discovered in 2005, dating from 230 AD, a century before Constantine. It's like the dedication plaques we have on the tables and on our walls here. This is a dedication from a woman named Akeptus, dedicating this table that would have sat above there to God Jesus Christ. To God Jesus Christ. In classical stories, the ancient Greek and Roman gods would sometimes disguise themselves as people to serve their own purposes or to get up to mischief. In Eastern religions, God is an impersonal force permeating all things. In Greek philosophy, they believed that everything here on earth was a pale reflection of its perfect form in heaven. So the hard wooden pews that you are sitting on this morning are simply a pale reflection of the perfectly comfortable gold-class leather chair with drink holder and footrest in heaven that all other chairs derive from and aspire to. But the incarnation, God born of a woman, means God is not some impersonal force, but truly with us in a new and personal way, not as a disguise or even for his own purposes, but to truly be with us, joining us in the mess of our lives. God in human flesh come to serve us. Our perfect God in heaven entering our imperfect world. The invisible, holy, eternal God now visible, tangible, concrete, approachable, like never before imagined. Secondly, God with us courageously. Let's read from verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose Mary to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Seems that God often allows us to go through difficult circumstances to reveal the quality of our faith and character. When God turns the heat up is often when the impurities float to the surface, which is not to rub our faces and how imperfect we are, but to enable us to see our weaknesses and change to humbly trust God more, or maybe see him in his perfections. The book of Job that I've been reading recently in my quiet times is all about this. God allowing everything to be taken from Job. But in the end, Job growing to trust God's sovereignty and goodness more than he ever would if he'd not experienced these trials and loss. Whatever you might be facing this Christmas, it's important to remember that God knows, that God is in control, that God can be trusted. And that God is good. That he wants us to grow through suffering to become more like Jesus, not turn away in despair and distrust. Why hadn't God revealed to Joseph what he was planning to do before he found out Mary was pregnant? Why didn't God save Joseph the heartache and jealousy and pain of considering losing Mary, his fiancée, forever? To test what sort of man he was, maybe. That certainly seems to be what Matthew wants us to understand in these verses. In that brutal shame and honour culture, Joseph thinks not of himself, but for Mary, who he suspects has betrayed him, to not expose her to public disgrace, to not play any part in humiliating her further himself, but to quietly endure the pain and loss himself. The world would see a loser, the victim of unfaithfulness, but God would see an honourable man, a man who chose to love God and Mary rather than defend his own reputation. Thankfully, God alleviates the pain and sends an angel to explain in a dream God's hand in all this. You can feel the relief, can't you? The broken heart revived. Don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. The baby is from God. She will give birth to a son, and you, Joseph, are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. This isn't your son, Joseph. You're not the father. God is. And there's a sense that Ellie, my four-year-old, is only temporarily mine and Renee's. In the big scheme of things, Ellie is God's child, And I pray that she will grow to love Jesus and make courageous and even costly choices to follow him. But Joseph, this is God's child, not yours. God is the Father. And so God will name him, not you. And Jesus means God saves, which describes why God is entering our world, why we have hope this Christmas, what Christmas is all about. That Jesus came to save us from our sins. Just as Joseph was willing, though not required, to courageously and quietly bear the shame of Mary's sin, Jesus would courageously and quietly bear our sin. This is why he came. Isaiah chapter 53, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Laid on Jesus our sins. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. It's astonishing, really. God has every right to announce from the rooftops the sins of my heart. What I deserve on the last day is public humiliation for my own wrongful behaviour against God and other people. And yet the wonderful news of Christmas is that Jesus courageously and silently carries my sin to the cross, is pierced for my disobedience and crushed for my unfaithfulness, so that I can know peace, not shame. At Christmas, Jesus comes to us in the most courageous way imaginable. Thirdly, God with us completely. Look with me at verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Matthew now takes us and drops us into a time machine, pulls the lever, and we find ourselves back in 700 BC, 700 years before the birth of Christ, in Jerusalem, with the threat of war upon us. The air is thick with fear. As chapter 7 of the Old Testament book of Isaiah opens, where this quote in verse 23 about Emmanuel comes from, the kings of the north are joining forces. They're marching in strength to wage war upon Jerusalem. God urgently sends Isaiah, the prophet, to King Ahaz, saying, "Be quiet, do not fear, trust me, be firm in your faith, or you will not stand at all." Then the Lord invites Ahaz to ask for a sign, so God might prove true to his word. But King Ahaz refuses. "I will not put the Lord to the test." But it's not that Ahaz is super spiritual, he's too holy to test God. The fact is that Ahaz is already cheating on God. He's already made a deal with the Assyrians to come to his aid rather than trust God. He's already put his hope in the superpower of the day, in the strength of men, rather than the word of his Creator. And so God gives Ahaz a sign. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. The virgin can also just mean young woman. A young woman will give birth to a son, and before he's even a boy, the armies marching against Jerusalem would be defeated. But because King Ahaz has put his trust in Assyria, not God, by the time this boy was a man, Assyria would sweep into Judah like floodwaters spilling over from Cyclone Owen, filling the entire land. Oh, Emmanuel. Because King Ahaz refused to trust God, Emmanuel means God is with us in judgment. God here seems threatening and dangerous, acting as our enemy when we refuse to turn to him. But even though we turn from God, even though we deserve God's wrath and not mercy, God now fulfills this promise for a virgin to conceive and give birth to a son, literally, by coming down to us not in judgment, but in love. God comes to us not in anger, but in gentleness, not in terror, but as a baby. God shows up not as a burning bush or a pillar of fire and smoke or a fiery storm on Mount Sinai, so holy your only thought was to back away from him, retreat or fall as if dead, as Isaiah himself had. in Isaiah chapter 6, but a baby. A baby who you can pick up and hold on your shoulder and sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star to, and burp and change and bath and feed. At that first Christmas, God is with us completely, unreservedly, unreservedly. God comes near without barriers to be with us and us with Him. Unexpectedly, courageously, completely is how God wants to be known to you. And if that's how God loves us, who aren't nice, maybe we should add Aunt Flora back on our Christmas list, even if it costs us $28. Verse 24, waking up from his dream, bleary-eyed and still in shock, Joseph washes his face. He does what the angel commanded. He runs around to Mary's place. Mary, as you can imagine, is feeling vulnerable and alone, hurt, about to be ostracized by family and friends, when suddenly Joseph bursts in with flowers, flowers in his hand. Be my wife. I want you to be my wife. Blurting out something about an angel, a son, Jesus sins. Joseph did what God commanded. And Mary gave birth to a son who Joseph gave the name Jesus, the name chosen by God. And God now calls us to live unexpectedly, courageously and completely for Jesus. For Jesus to live with us so we can enjoy intimate relationship with God took courage. Just as it takes courage for us to embrace Jesus as our Lord and Saviour today. Courage to admit that you are a sinner who needs forgiveness. Courage to lay down your life that this child in a manger is now your manager. Courage to lay down your reputation. Willing to make the choice every day to honour Jesus, which may not make sense to those around you, even to your own family and friends. One man who has embraced Jesus unexpectedly, courageously and completely is Pastor Wang Yi from Early Rain Covenant Church in Chengdu, China. Last Sunday, the 9th of December, 100 members of his church were arrested, including Pastor Wang and his wife Jiang, who have not been seen since. Prepared for this possibility, Pastor Wang wrote a declaration to be published 48 hours after the event of his being arrested. He writes this. He says, "On the basis of the teachings of the Bible and the mission of the gospel, I respect the authorities God has established in China. But changing social and political institutions is not the mission I have been called to, and it is not the goal for which God has given his people the gospel. As a pastor, my firm belief in the gospel, my teaching and my rebuking of all evil proceeds from Christ's command in the gospel and from the unfathomable love of that glorious King." He said, "Every man's life is extremely short, and God fervently commands the church to lead and call any man to repentance who is willing to repent. Christ is eager and willing to forgive all who turn from their sins. This is the goal of all the efforts of the church in China, to testify to the world about our Christ, to testify about the kingdom of heaven, to testify to earthly momentary lives about heavenly eternal life. This is also the pastoral calling that I have received. For this reason, I am joyfully willing to submit myself to the enforcement of the law as though submitting to the discipline and training of the Lord. Even though I am often weak, I firmly believe this is the promise of the gospel. It is what I've devoted all my energy to. It is the good news that I am spreading throughout Chinese society. Separate me from my wife and children, ruin my reputation, destroy my life and my family. The authorities are capable of doing all of these things. However, no one in the world can force me to renounce my faith. No one can make me change my life. No one can raise me from the dead. Jesus is the Christ, Son of the eternal living God. He died for sinners and rose to life for us. He is my King and the King of the whole earth, yesterday, today and forever. I am his servant and I am imprisoned because of this. The Lord's servant, Wang Yi." Even now, Jesus is with his church unexpectedly, courageously, completely. It was wonderful this week. I prayed recently that we might get some Chinese people at church. And I think God loves to answer prayer. And that very Sunday, Ting Ting Wu came to church. Renee and I met with her on Wednesday in Ascot at Cafe 63. She wants to know about the Bible. He's a wonderful God, isn't he? Unexpectedly, courageously, completely. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, our dear God, thank you for your willingness to give your all for us, to enter our broken world and become a baby, helpless, to die for us willingly, to be raised up at the cross, that we might be free from sin, we might have the hope of eternal life, and the joy of a life now where we can serve Jesus unexpectedly, courageously, completely. Help us to follow our Lord and Saviour, like Pastor Wang Yi. Help him at this time, dear Lord. Comfort the church in China. We pray for his release. We pray even more so that you would be glorified through his imprisonment. Amen.